Monday, the day after Easter, marked the passing of Pope Francis. I greatly appreciate his heart for the poor and marginalized peoples, his reconciliation work, and his care for creation and all creatures, great and small, just like his namesake, Francis of Assisi. I was going to say, though, if you had to summarize Pope Francis's life and ministry in one word, it's been said that that word would be mercy. So I'm super encouraged that we sang many songs about mercy and we ended with focusing on the mercy of God. So in 1958, when Francis was just 21 years old, of course his name was Bergoglio or something like that, but he took on the name Pope Francis when he became Pope. But when he was just 21, God healed him of a near-death bout of pneumonia in part, and part of his lung was surgically removed. This encounter with the power and presence of God through receiving Jesus' healing actually inspired him to choose to spend the rest of his life devoted to God, committed to visibly living the gospel of God's mercy. And I am encouraged by his testimony. I'm also challenged and motivated by his words. Listen to this. He said, "Now there are, there are only two kinds of people, those who care for someone who is hurting and those who pass by, those who bend down to help, and those who look the other way and hurry off. Here, all our distinctions, labels, and masks fall away. It is the moment of truth. Will we bend down to touch and heal the wounds of others? Will we bend down and help another to get up? This is today's challenge, and we should not be afraid to face it. In moments of crisis, decisions become urgent. It could be said that here and now, anyone who is neither a robber nor a passerby is either injured himself or bearing an injured person on his shoulders." Isn't that good? Of course, he's referring to the Good Samaritan story. Pope Francis's words resonate so deeply with what we in the Vineyard value, that we are all invited to be wounded healers who participate in Jesus's healing ministry. So we're continuing our series, our short series on healing. This is our third of 4 weeks, and I'm in awe of how God moves and speaks in the middle of all this. So a recent poll by the Barna Group discovered that about one-third of Americans strongly believe that people can be physically healed supernaturally by God. A further third somewhat agree with this, and another third are skeptical. Their report notes that the topic of physical healing is one of the more contested in the church today. Though scripture is full of accounts of the miraculous, the topic tends to be fairly divisive and causes tension not only within, but between denominations, and also between the church and the scientific community. So today we're going to learn how to better embrace the miracles of healing. And a good place to start is to look at Jesus. In order to better understand healing, it is crucial to understand three things about Jesus, because it is Jesus's healing ministry with which we participate, or in which we participate. All things were made through Jesus and for Jesus. That's the first thing. All things are sustained by and held together by Jesus. And all things are being made new through Jesus. So the bottom line is that Jesus still heals. Why? Because Jesus still sustains and holds all things together and is making all things new. Jesus is Lord of all, including creation and new creation, time, we just sang about that in Bart's song, and the future. What do we want? Healing. When do we want it? Now. That's right. Now, I want to suggest that often when we say we want healing for ourselves or someone else, what we really mean is that we want instantaneous, supernatural healing, right? Let's pause for a moment and try to think about and realize what that desire actually means. It means that we think we know what we need. The reality is that we do not and cannot know all that God wants to do in any given situation in our lives or in the lives of others. It's so important to remember that we are followers of Jesus. We are not in charge. We don't know what God's highest and best is, and we have no idea what we need. When it comes to healing, I believe God's invitation is best summarized as, trust me, do all that you can, persevere, and trust me, I am with you. So for 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have participated in Jesus' healing ministry in many different ways, through prayer, proclaiming, authority, touch, faith, repentance, forgiveness, medicines, medical interventions, pastoral care, encouragement, visiting the sick, caring for the dying, training medical practitioners, building hospitals, anointing with oil, advocating for health care access, inner healing, spiritual cleansing, cultivating healthy communities, and encouraging physical and mental well-being, and more. We can better embrace the miracles of healing by understanding that Jesus' healing ministry is about caring for the whole person. So I need a volunteer to help me hand out. We have handouts today. Thank you, Pam. And we have fill in the blanks. And so I brought markers because they're easier to write with when you maybe don't have a hard surface to put under there. So while she's handing that out, before we get into the fill in the blanks, I want to tell you something about the third president of Asbury Theological Seminary, where Michael studies, Frank Bateman Stanger. He taught that authentic healing relates to the whole person. He said, Jesus, listen to this, this is really cool. Jesus healed persons rather than curing diseases. The individual is healed truly insofar as he recovers the possibility of the maturity of the entire person. Healing means wholeness, dependent upon the Holy Spirit's integration of one's total being, body, mind, and spirit. There's a lot of wisdom in that. So here at Liberty Vineyard, we often pray, as Jesus taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, don't we? That's Matthew 6:10. So as we follow Jesus in both prayer and in practice, we better understand that healing is about the transformation of persons by the grace of God within the reality of the kingdom of God right here, right now. And we get to participate in Jesus' healing ministry, which is ongoing. So now what we're going to do for the rest of the sermon is we're going to look at what Stanger dubbed the five miracles of healing. Thank you. To describe the various ways in which Jesus heals the whole person. So the first way in which Jesus heals is through supernatural touch. Supernatural touch. Shortly after Jesus began his public ministry, he read the assigned reading for the day in his hometown synagogue. He walked in, and this is recorded for us in Luke 4:18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's what Jesus said. A couple of chapters later in Luke 7, 22, Jesus described his ministry like this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And then if you look at all of the New Testament Gospels, they tell us, and we've talked about this a couple of times in recent months, they tell us what Jesus began to do. Then Jesus promised his followers in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' followers 50 days later, and 2,000 years later, Jesus' ministry of teaching, announcing, and healing continues today through the body of Christ, the church, us. So we might, remember that Barna survey, we might strongly agree that Jesus still gives sight to blind people, enables disabled people to walk, gives hearing to deaf people, or raises the dead. We might somewhat agree that Jesus still does these things. We might be skeptical. We might be somewhere in the middle. Jesus meets us right where we are. And I find that my own faith is encouraged by testimonies. I can highly recommend renowned New Testament scholar Craig Keener's book, Miracles Today, which is filled with accounts of Jesus healing people today in all of the ways that Jesus described 2,000 years ago. And I wanted so bad to read story after story to you, but we don't have time today. But I do want to share a very personal testimony with you of Jesus' supernatural healing of a beloved family member. Michael, our third son, was born 7 weeks premature, and he had some health problems as a result. One test showed that he could not hear properly, so more tests were ordered. And by 8 months of age, the doctors diagnosed Michael with moderate hearing loss. They said he could hear only vowels, but not consonants. They told me to bring him back a week later for more detailed tests. The day before the appointment, I took Michael with me to a women's Bible study on spiritual warfare. The group prayed over him. They asked Jesus to heal him. They broke generational curses. They prayed everything imaginable. One woman opened her Bible to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and prayed it over Michael, prophesying that the breath of God would enter Michael's ears and bring them to life. I left the prayer time believing that the Lord had healed him. That night, as I was getting into bed, God spoke the word cascade to me audibly, and it is the only time I've ever heard the audible voice of God. And even though I was not pregnant, I thought, that would make a nice girl's name. The following morning, I buckled Michael into his baby seat so we could make our way to the hospital for his audiology appointment. I switched on the radio, and the first thing, as I'm just pulling out into the street, the first thing I heard was a traffic report for Cascade Drive. That got my attention. Then in the hospital parking lot, I pulled into a space and a big truck pulled in right next to me, emblazoned with Cascade Paper Company. And when I got inside the hospital, the audiologist started asking questions. And she wrote her answers in a manila folder. I didn't have reading glasses then. And I squinted and saw that it had the word Cascade imprinted on the back. So God really had my attention. Now, Michael's hearing test was 2 hours long, and the audiologist said nothing the entire time. At the end, she simply stated, "Everything's normal." God had healed Michael's hearing completely. This is before, I don't even know if we had a cell phone then, to be honest. This is 1996. We praise God for his mercy and his kindness. And of course, I'm jumping up and down, dancing in the parking lot. As soon as I got home, remember dictionaries, a book we used to have on the shelf? I looked up, I've turned to the dictionary. I knew what cascade meant in terms of it's a waterfall. But I turned to the dictionary immediately, and I discovered that cascade means also to rush forth in abundance. And I sensed that God was telling us that he was going to pour out his grace in abundance, not only on our family, but on the body of Christ as well. Now, God does not limit his speaking to words and images. Our very lives are often the prophetic message. Michael is a permanent prophetic reminder to everyone that Jesus still heals today through supernatural touch. And by the way, 15 months later, our beautiful cascade, Grace, was born. And she is a permanent prophetic reminder to everyone that God's grace is rushing forth in abundance. All right, so that brings us to the second way in which Jesus heals, and that is through doctors and medicine. Now, in the ancient world, so before the BC world, before Christ, pagan priests were also the medical practitioners, which meant that if you looked to them for help, you were committing idolatry, right? So there was no such thing as medical, you know, it wasn't a very well-developed thing in most in the part of the world that worshipped one true God, because it was considered idolatry, right? And then about 460 years before Christ, along came Hippocrates, who is known as the father of modern medicine. He revolutionized ancient Greek medicine and established it as a discipline distinct from other fields with which it had been entwined, particularly philosophy and divine magic. His work in prognosis, clinical observation, the systematic categorization of diseases and specialties led to the widespread acceptance of doctors and medicine as channels through whom God works to bring about healing and miracles. And we clearly see these attitudes reflected in the New Testament with references to doctors, for example, Dr. Luke, medicines and medical terminology. And throughout the history of the church, Christians have spread the good news all over the world, accompanied by the development of medical missions, practitioners, and hospitals. Now, I just learned this week, I'm guessing Tamara already knows this, but for the first time in over 40 years in the US, a new Christian MD granting medical school was established this past year at Belmont University in Nashville. They are dedicated to cultivating diverse physician leaders of character who embrace a whole person approach to healing in a community of service learning inspired by the love and grace of Christ, with a vision to shape medicine through transformative whole person care. Just as Jesus heals through supernatural touch, he also heals through doctors and medicine. Whether each individual practitioner or patient knows it, believes it or not, Jesus partners with them in his healing ministry. This is why we encourage people to both pray for healing and visit doctors and take their advice seriously. As theology professor and Christian ethicist Alan Verhey says, medicine is a good gift of God the Creator, a gracious provision of God the Provider, and a reflection and servant of God the Redeemer. And so that brings us to the third way in which Jesus heals. It is through the human body's healing power. Through the human body's healing power. Now this week, JR asked us on our WhatsApp group, WhatsApp chat, to share stories about our physical scars. And the reason that our bodies have scars is precisely because God designed the biological process of wound repair in our skin. Without that, we would all become quickly overwhelmed by microscopic invaders at even the tiniest scratch. And as Mariana said, our scars, like our wrinkles, are part of our story, our testimony. I thought that was beautiful. And when somebody can see our scars, they often ask, don't they, how did you get that? What a great segue to share our stories. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well." And you know, the vast majority of treatments in modern medicine are designed to facilitate or to enhance our body's God-given healing power. Jesus' healing ministry includes empowering our body's self-healing capabilities. We participate with Jesus by making essential lifestyle choices involving good diet, regular exercise, and adequate sleep. We can practice forgiveness, gratitude, and self-care. And we can refuse to let unforgiveness, bitterness, or self-hatred to get even a toehold in our hearts or our minds. Often when we practice positive rhythms and remove negative barriers, then our bodies and our minds are set free to do their healing work. All of these choices contribute to physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and relational healing. And that brings us to the fourth way in which Jesus heals. It is through suffering with patience through God's sufficient grace. Suffering with patience through God's sufficient grace. This is a really hard one because we don't want to suffer and we don't want loved ones to suffer. We don't like it when we read about suffering, and we, let alone suffering with patience, right? But the reality is that sometimes Jesus does not remove the source of our or someone else's suffering and pain. We may not understand it, but sometimes Jesus' healing comes in the form of God's sufficient grace given to us so that we have the strength to bear our afflictions. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 7a through 10, the Apostle Paul says, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. So Jesus tells us here quite plainly that his grace is sufficient for us. For God's power is teleitai, perfected in our weakness. The Greek word teleitai indicates the fulfilling and accomplishing of a divine purpose. I think the word perfect is not a very good word in English. So many times we tend to think it means all the boxes have to be ticked. But it has to do with God fulfilling God's purpose. And the Apostle Paul understood this, which is what enabled him to live in holy contentment. It is in our weaknesses that we discover our limitations, and those limitations define the borders of where we are to live out God's will. So at the Rivers Alive banquet that Tamara, Pam, and I attended this week, the keynote speaker described how water allows the molecules and atoms it contains to move, to form connections, and to create new life. So when we think about rivers and streams, they become more alive and free-flowing and powerful when they have clean and clear edges to define them. Without those borders, they would become murky swamps filled with death and decay. And so it is with our lives. We are more alive, more free-flowing, and more powerful in Christ when we live in the reality of the borders we are given in which to live out God's will. And as we lean into God's grace, we can learn to not simply be resigned to, but embrace our life's limitations for the sake of Christ. In love, Jesus heals us by giving us sufficient grace so that we can suffer with patience. And the fifth and final way in which Jesus heals is through victorious dying. Through victorious dying. So I'm pretty sure that Lazarus, at some point after Jesus raised him from the dead, eventually died again. I'm pretty sure that every person who has ever lived and is not currently breathing air on planet Earth has died, except Jesus, who is risen indeed. Actually, it's a one-to-one certainty that unless we're still alive at the 1 Corinthians 15 last trumpet, we will all experience physical death. With those kinds of odds, it's a good idea for us to learn to embrace victorious dying. Revelation 21, 3-4 tells us that a voice from the throne of God says, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." This is the hope of resurrection. Death has been conquered as an enemy. Jesus did that on the cross. But we still have to pass through it until Jesus comes again. Christians, just like everyone else, need to confront the dark reality of death, mourning, crying, and pain until Jesus comes again. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 14, 17 and 18 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. By dying and rising again, Jesus defeated death and transformed it to become a means of healing. My favorite living philosopher, Peter Kraft, put it this way in his book, Heaven, the Heart's Deepest Longing. Christ has made death into life's golden chariot, sent to fetch his Cinderella bride out of the cinders of this fireplace of a world through a far midnight ride to his very own castle and bedchamber, where glory will beget glory upon us forever. There is so much that we long for that will never be fully satisfied in this life, but which will be fully, completely, perfectly satisfied in the next. Jesus has transformed death into a doorway, into the ultimate healing that comes only when we breathe our last breath on earth. Pastor and ethical theologian Charles Christian says, in response to this cultural denial of death, the church's hope of resurrection and community support for the dying and the grieving can be good news indeed. So we're not limited to praying only for physical cures, even as we pray for healing, because victorious dying is one of the ways in which Jesus heals. Dying victoriously through Jesus' conquering of death is actually a visible proclamation of the good news. So let's reflect for a few moments on each of these five miracles of healing, and I invite you to pay attention to whatever the Lord speaks to you, whispers to you, shows you. How can I become more open to participate with Jesus in healing people through supernatural touch? How can I become more open to participate with Jesus in healing people through doctors and medicine? How can I become more open to participate with Jesus in healing people through the human body's healing power? How can I become more open to participate with Jesus in healing people through suffering with patience through God's sufficient grace? How can I become more open to participate with Jesus in healing people through victorious dying?